Okay, I was saying that for the purpose of, for example, computing Green function, one usually considers a solution of the equation of motion. We reduce on the boundary to the value of the source for the field that you for which you are computing Green function. Therefore, typically, this is which is the leading term as a coefficient which is associated with the source for the operator. What's about the second term? Well, one can prove that if one really computes the Green function, the coefficient of the subleading term in this explicit solution is associated with the one-point function of the operator that you are considering. This teaches us that if you look at the solution, a generic one, where there is a leading term like that, you interpret the solution as a deformation of the ultraviolet fixed point. You are introducing a constant background source for the operator. While if you are considering a solution where the leading term is absent and you start with the second one, you are really considering a solution where there is a non-zero VEV for the operator that you are considering. Therefore, if the ultraviolet behavior is of this second type, you are describing the theory in a different vacuum.
What happens
if delta equals 2? If delta equals 2, you have a sweep. Okay, this is a. If delta equals 2, the two solutions of this equation are an exponential and an exponential times a log. I think the definition of the leading term is still the source, but well, there are subtleties in all this game when delta is between 2 and 3, because essentially, you know, the minimum value that you can get from this is you get the Friedman-Bretton-Lohner bound is minus 4, which corresponds to delta equal 2. But the unitary bound in the gauge theory is 1, not 2. So you need to describe this region 1, 2. So between 1 and 3, when delta is between 1 and 3, there are several subtleties that I will not discuss here because I will consider safe example. Okay? And I think that there is a prescription for choosing the leading term. I'm not sure that really the leading term between the exponential and the exponential log correspond to the source, but there is a prescription for choosing.
About the
yes.
If you put A to 0, your solution will
In anti-de-Sitter, there is no solution like that, but indeed, anti-de-Sitter corresponds to conformal field theory. All the values of the operator are zero. So you are simply...
But in general, any solution you take, there is one more boundary condition of the duality.
Which fix one of the two, yes.
So I thought that if you try to set A to zero, then you will not find the regular solution.
This is, I think it's true in, and well, in some sense, this is the leading ultraviolet behavior that you are considering. You are taking anti-de-Sitter and you want to deform anti-de-Sitter. Typically, the solution that I will discuss have indeed singularities. Now, I don't know if you can.
Small comment.
Yes.
So you say there is a distinction between the Euclidean space and the interacting space. For this purpose, what you say is true in
the Euclidean space.
If you look at the
interacting
space situation,
I am talking about the Euclidean space, there is definitely a singularity. Which, and for example, if you interpret this in anti-de-Sitter, it's telling you that all the operators have this zero value. Now, you want to consider a space that which is no more anti-de-Sitter.
The case you will discuss.
Yes, the case in which I will discuss, there is indeed a singularity.
And what?
Well, I will discuss essentially the first one. Deformation. I will not discuss different vacua of the theory, but for example, you can describe different vacua by going to the column branch of n equal 4.
Mm-hmm.
And indeed, people found singularity in the solution.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I will come to the singularity because it's a typical, let's say, byproduct of this solution.
The fact that there is singularity if you try to put A to 0 is the statement that the boundary field theory becomes weakly coupled in the infrared, and therefore you expect a singularity in gravity or something like that?
But,
when
I think it's a little bit more than that, in some sense. Yeah, certainly you cannot describe the weakly coupled theory starting from this point, because it's the strongly coupled version. I think that this singularity, in some sense, is simply an artifact of your approximation. You are going to an approximation where the curvature are bigger, you need a real string theory. But more than that, I don't think that there is a... So if you are asking if there is a solution...
One counterexample would be if you take the Euclidean black hole, there's a nonlinear regime that you can smoothly close it off. And what you're doing there is you're giving expectation values.
So sometimes there is and sometimes there isn't.
Well, you know, sometimes also. Well, I will discuss the singularity. Well, this is clearly only the really linear approximation, only work at first order in perturbation theory. Then I will solve the equation, the real equation of motion, not the linearized one. Okay, and then you. Well, the linear equation simply is just the following statement. You want to interpret this solution as a renormalization group flow in quantum field theory, and you need to know what you are doing at your ultraviolet fixed point. Then you linearize. You look at first order in the deformation, just to see what's going on. Lambda is, yes, lambda is sufficiently small for this. That's true. But, you will see in a moment that I will not trust the linearized equation of motion, okay? I will solve the full equation of motion for the problem. No, this is going to zero. X is very large. My boundary is at X equal plus infinity. Take delta equal 3, which will be the case in this talk, a bilinear in a mass 4, a fermion, and then equal 4 Young Mills. This is e to the minus x, and this is e to the minus 3 times x. This is well defined. Yes. Okay, so you are not in the, you are starting going to the infrared limit. Well, this is just some sort of answer to your question. I was doing a linear approximation around the background. If I want to do something, I really need to solve the equation of motion of the supergravity. Typically, the 10-dimensional equation of motion are difficult to solve. However, there's a trick that allows one to look for simple solution, and it's the following. Instead of considering the 10-dimensional theory, consider the 5-dimensional reduced theory and truncate the theory to some of the modes which fill the 5-dimensional and equal 8-gauge supergravity. Okay? This is a consistent truncation of the 10-dimensional equation of motion. And the Lagrangian is completely specified by supersymmetry, giving n equal 8, completely specify your Lagrangian for all the field. Now you may ask, certainly I have some field in this game that with which I can play with. are they enough for doing something interesting? Well, if you look at the scalar field that you can describe with in this Lagrangian, you discover that you have a total of 42 scalar fields. They are in the following representation of the R symmetry group, which is SU4, the group which rotates the 4 fermion on n equal 4 and the 6 scalars of the theory. Well, there is an operator which is not the most interesting for me, which corresponds to the essentially the operator which coupled to the coupling constant. This operator simply changes the coupling constant of the n equal 4 theory. Then there are two operators that you see are bilinears in the fermions and bilinears in the scalar field. So in using this field, you can describe mass terms for fermions and scalars in the n equal 4 theory. And you can describe almost all of them, because you see the 10 of SU4 contains the most general mass term for fermions, and the 20 of SU4 contains the almost general mass term for scalar. This is a symmetric traceless operator, which means that you simply remove one mode in the game. But this mode is also the trace of these guys, and is known, in looking at the spectrum of the correspondence, that this guy, the trace, is not even a supergravity mode. It cannot be described not even with 10-dimensional supergravity. You really need string theory. So from the point of view of supergravity, the truncation to 5-dimensional allows to describe all the possible mass terms for scalars and fermions, which is enough for studying most of the deformation of this theory. Now, what about this Lagrangian? The Lagrangian is completely constrained by supersymmetry and has a not nice aspect, in the sense that for all these 42 fields, there is typically a potential, and the potential is very difficult to construct out of the 42 scalars in the theory, because they parameterize some complicated coset, E6 mod USP8, and the potential involves exponential of a matrix which represents a coset, other things which are not really easy to handle with. And indeed, the full potential for all the 42 scalars is not known. One small remark about the potential. This is a potential which is not like other compactification of type 2B. If you think about type 2B on compactifying on Calabi-Yau or other rich flat manifold, you typically have a lot of flat direction. In this gauge supergravity, instead, this is a potential which has only isolated critical points. So there are no flat direction at all, except essentially one, in some sense, trivially flat direction, which corresponds to this operator, which is the change in the coupling constant of n equal 4 EMEs. And it's flat only because you have a fixed line of fixed points in the theory. For every value of the coupling constant, the theory is conformed. Now, well, anyway, we expect a complicated potential with several critical points. There is centrally critical points where all the scalars are zero vev, which correspond to my starting point, the n equal 4 super EMEs theory. Then, in this picture, there are other critical points which have anti-de Sitter vacuum, in this Lagrangian. And typically, in this diagram, each of the direction corresponds to turning on some of the scalar field. Therefore, correspond to turning on some of the deformation of the theory. Now, you can think that if you turn on some particular deformation, you flow from the n equal 4 EMEs to another conformal field theory in the infinite, if you get a solution which interpolates between these two critical points. If you take instead a generical deformation, a generical mass term for fermions, you are on a generic solution in this diagram, which typically will go to infinity. Now, the phase space of this problem has been studied in various examples. I already told you that for each of these solutions, you may have two different quantum field theory interpretation, a deformation of the theory in different vacua. Now, the first example would be to study the solution which corresponds to the interpolation between two different anti-de Sitter vacuum. This is simply the renormalization group flow between the ultraviolet n equal 4 EMEs and some infrared conformal field theory. Looking at the all possible solution, all possible critical point of this theory with anti-de-Sitter vacuum, you may expect to study the, all the possible deformation of n equal 4 Yamil, of strongly coupled n equal 4 Yamil, which have a conformal limit in the infrared. And I'll discuss in a few minutes more about this point. Then there are directions in which in this potential goes to infinity. It's natural to interpret that as the flow from n equal 4 super Yamil to non-conformal theories in the infrared. This point, the difference between mass deformation and different vacua becomes, if you want, crucial. There are various examples in the literature. For example, if you take the bilinear in the scalar, there is a very natural way of getting a non-zero bilinear in the scalars out of the n equal 4 gauge theory. You simply go in the column branch. Typically, the scalar have a non-zero valve, a bilinear in the scalar has a non-zero valve. So you may expect to be able to describe the column branch where this operator has a non-zero valve with one of these supergravity solutions with the right asymptotic behavior to be associated with a vacuum of the theory. And this has been done by many authors here. There are other examples where you take this mode, the mode associated to trace F square, and you study a solution where the corresponding scalar runs. Okay, clearly, as a deformation of the n equal 4 Yamil, this does not make this, it's not so interesting. You're changing the coupling constant. You know that you are on the line of fixed points. You're simply moving along the line of fixed points. What about different vacua? Well, indeed, there are several solutions in the literature where you have a running dilaton. The dilaton is associated with this field, and it runs with the fifth coordinate. This means that you can describe theory which corresponds to n equal 4 in a vacuum where sum of this operator is not zero.
What do you mean by that? Those are not moduli. There are not other vacuums. You kind of uses up all of your vacuums.
And moreover,
well, for example...
Let him answer, please.
For example, I think Zeitlin studied a background where you are on a background of instantons, mm-hmm. So you have smeared instanton over space, so that you can interpret this as F square not zero. So
this there's not something branch of vacuum that we don't know about. I think those solutions actually don't correspond to the gauge theory. They're unphysical. They have singularities.
No, but
can
you that you have a
formal
field,
which
breaks
No. You have
it's a different state.
But if it's instanton, for example, it breaks part of the...
But these are Lorentz invariant states.
So you need an instanton in every point. So you integrate over instanton. It's a state, okay. From the point of view of vacuum, it's not really a different vacuum of the theory, yes.
Probably the geometry of the Bolt theory, it's like a negative Mann-Schwarzschild singularity. It's an unphysical gravity solution which corresponds to no state in the gauge theory.
That's a possibility, yes.
Especially because some of these... So what Gusser did, for example, would correspond to a negative, a non-supersymmetric state of zero energy.
Is not singular. I remember, yeah, that it's also in some coordinates it's almost flat space in 10 dimensions. I need to check this. Yeah, I think she is right because I also remember that in I don't remember which frame they get a flat metric. Typically, supersymmetry is broken in this example.
Square is not the lowest component. Right?
Sure. If you have a background of instanton, you break at least half of the supersymmetry. If it is an instanton background. In other example, I think you even break some more.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying that this is a n equal 4 different vacuum.
Could not be.
Right. Typically, it's not. Well, the column branch is. Okay, you're moving in a real column branch of... but I agree that most of this solution probably does not make sense. I don't know an explicit example, but you can probably construct an example where bilinear of the fermion have a non-zero value. This is even more difficult for me to interpret. It would mean that you have a different vacuum of n equal 4 where fermion bilinears have non-zero value. It's a chiral, but this is an equal 4.
So right, right.
It's still.
There should be 0 as well, right?
Yeah, right? So.
So it's not supersymmetric in this way, right?
Well, typically it will break part of. All the supersymmetries in the game by the by deforming or also giving a value. I think this is the only example where you maintain n equal 4 supersymmetry.
What is the other thing?
Which one?
The
F square. Well, I was saying that there are solutions with running dilaton. There are many solutions with running dilaton in the literature. I think most of them have a singularity. I'm not sure about this one particular by Zeitlin. I was mentioning this one by Zeitlin because he has this sort of interpretation. So you take, a background of instant which is mirrored over space-time so that your operator has non-zero value. Okay? Then I think due to the background, there is a confinement due to the form of the background that you have. And for example, it checked using the supergravity solution that the supergravity solution corresponds to some confining theory.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And there are other more complicated solutions where you give non-zero value both the dilaton to the axion and so on. Okay, this one is a clear example where we know that also in quantum field theory there's a different vacuum. Others are less clear, I admit. I will mainly concern with the other aspect of the theory, which is take the n equal 4 and deform with bilinears in the fermion. So give mass to all the fermions, for example. You expect to flow to theory which are QCD-like in the infrared. And this will be the second part of my talk. But before going to this deformation, let me briefly discuss what is the phase space of this Lagrange. For example, how many critical points there are with anti-de Sitter vacuum. Well, up to now, people have computed all the possible critical points which have an anti-de Sitter vacuum which has at least a C2 symmetry. And there is the central one, which is the n equal a, which is super Young Mills. And then there are four of them. The point of studying only the critical point with SU2 symmetry is a technical problem. The potential has 42 scalar. If you impose some symmetry, residual symmetry, you can reduce the number of scalar and you actually can compute this potential. Then once you have the potential, the rest is easy. You minimize the potential and see if the vacuum is anti-de Sitter. There are essentially four non-trivial points. Three of them have n equal zero supersymmetry. And this is the residual symmetry, global symmetry of the system. The one with zero supersymmetry, you see, they are associated with deformation with, for example, a mass term for one of the four scalars in the theory. This one is a bilinear in the scalars, this particular bilinear. This one is much more complicated because it involves both kind of fields. So it's a combination of mass term for fermions and mass term for scalars. And then there is a supersymmetric vacuum, is n equal 2 in supergravity, which means n equal 1 on the boundary conformal field theory, like this one is n equal 8 in supergravity, but is n equal 4 super Young Mills. These are the superconformal symmetry, which has symmetry as U2 cross U1, and has been identified with this deformation of the Young Mills theory. You give mass to one of the adjoint field, adjoint chiral field, which you obtain decomposing n equal 4, writing n equal 4 in n equal 1 language. From the field theory point of view, you can indeed prove using Ligstrasler argument that this has flow in the infrared to another conformal field theory with an equal one supersymmetry. Now, this is the phase space. Then you still need to find the solution, the interpolating solution, which goes from one to the other. And typically, since you are considering a situation where you have some residual symmetry, you put to zero all the scalar that do not preserve this symmetry, and you remain with a simple Lagrangian. What all you need is a Lagrangian which describes the interaction between gravity and the scalar field that you are using in a given potential. And you want to find the following solution, a five-dimensional solution which interpolates, which means that goes from one vacuum to another vacuum. That means that the metric and the scalar field that you are considering depends on the fifth coordinate in such a way that the scalar field goes from 0 to, let's say, 1, which is the point where the potential has another critical point, and the metric interpolates between two different anti-de Sitter vacua. The value of the potential at the two points determines the cosmological constant of the anti-de Sitter space. Essentially, what you need to find is a solution interpolating between two vacua. It's also called a kink or a domain wall. Now, since you also want to preserve four-dimensional Poincaré invariants, you look for a solution of this form. This is the most general Poincaré invariant metric in suitable coordinates, and there is only one unknown function. This function must approach a linear function, which is the one corresponding to an anti-de Sitter space, both in the ultraviolet and in the infrared. Then you write down the equation of motion. You write the equation for the scalar field coupled to gravity and the Einstein equation. Typically, you get three equations, but one of them is a linear combination of the other two. So you remain with this problem that you have to solve in order to find the supergravity solution. If you eliminate phi from, for example, the second equation, you get an equation which can be interpreted as the motion of a particle in an external potential, which is exactly the potential of supergravity with an extra minus sign, and subject to some friction. You can prove using the boundary condition that this object is always never vanishing and also negative. So if you want this, in this particle interpretation, you have a particle in a negative friction system. So, for example, if you want to interpolate between different fixed points, you can start in the following. In this picture with minus the potential, the infrared point is sitting here on the top of an hill, and the ultraviolet is sitting there. So you look at the solution from going to UV to ER, just you reverse the sign of X, just looking at it, and put a particle here. If you give to the particle a little kick, the particle will go down, will go like that. Without friction, it could also go on the other top of the hill, but since there is a non-negative friction, you expect that the generic solution will oscillate a little bit and will stop at an n equal 4. This means that solution which interpolates between the two fixed points always exists. However, clearly, this is a second-order equation. You need a way to find the physical solution, which is the one corresponding to renormalization group flow. Well, I expect that for this solution, there is some sort of fine-tuning, and the physical solution is the one which probably not oscillate at all around this fixed point, but it goes straight from one to the other, or at least it's the one which oscillates the less. In general, you cannot find the exact solution because it's a second-order equation in a generic potential. You need to solve these two equations, and this in general is not possible. I will show you some examples.
You don't even know what lambda is. You sort of have to write the scale manifold because
the point.
Of course, there is not symmetry, you know what lambda is.
Yes, if there is not enough symmetry, that if there is no enough symmetry, it's a tough problem because you have a lot of scalars and you don't know. In all these examples, you usually take one or at most two scalars, such a way that you can really solve your equation.
Can I ask you about what you just said about roughing at the bottom of the lens?
Yes.
Do you have a solution of rough patterns for the four-second
lens?
Is it a supergravity point of view? That's a perfectly good solution.
From the supergravity point of view, that's a perfectly good solution, yes.
You expect that?
Well, in general, I expect that not all the supergravity solutions correspond to physical renormalization group flow, at least in the usual sense that, for example, I will discuss later a case where you have supersymmetry. Then, if you have supersymmetry, for example, you can impose that your solution is supersymmetric along the flow. Then, automatically, the second order equation can be reduced to first order one. So, in that case, there is no ambiguity at all. There is only one solution in the game. In this case, I expect that one of the solutions corresponds to the actual deformation of the conformal, ultraviolet conformal fixed point, which gives the renormalization group flow to the infinite.
Now,
in this case, in generically is broken.
No,
the
no,
generic.
We will choose this kind of BPF.
Yes, in this case it is maintained. There is an typically an n equal one supersymmetry which is maintained along the floor.
So the solutions are
I don't have a good answer to this question. I believe that yes, not all the solutions have an interpretation in as a I think it's what do you mean by the other way around? No, I don't think so.
I think there are examples in literature, but we don't know whether you can embed absolutely into some other symmetric theory or into some
real supersymmetry.
You're in?
Yeah.
Sort of to follow up on Ben's question, if you go back one transparency, you end up flow backwards.
Yes.
You generically expect it or you're going to stop.
Well, you have a. Well, in some sense, you are tuning your parameter here, right? A little bit.
It's a. Two parameters, one of which is determined by the dynamics, which is a BEV.
Yeah.
You include a coupling that doesn't determine by the dynamics. So it's not if the right, I mean, the condition that it stops turned around, which is taking the BEV, is whatever it has to be for that state. You're not free to independently vary the BEV and the coupling. So here's an example of the fact of why most solutions are physical, because the ones that you would guess that would not stop would in fact be a physical. To correspond to them not having the right value for the given Hamiltonian, at least not for the vacuum state.
So then you're saying that in this, in one dispersion transit, we have the A and the B. For example, if you try to set A to zero,
right,
back
right.
B, that's not physical.
That's right.
That right. Would not work.
In order to dispersion move, right, from the point of view of turning direct right from U to the IR, you have to have A have the right value. A of B has to take the right value.
So it's not that the geometry is singular, but if you embed it in some string theory, it would work. It's
well,
just
no,
but
here where the IR is conformal, it's kind of easy to see what you're getting. So, but for example, in the paper you pull N equals 1 non-conformal, even the good geometry can be singular.
Yeah. But I think Wozzeck was saying that the two parameters in the renormalization group, once you give the deformation,
yeah,
the second, the subleading term is fixed.
Right. So, what, for
so but it's not the same as
the deformation zero.
Yes.
For A, then you're not free to just vary B, right, which is the value.
Well, but you are. But from the point of view of the supergravity solution, I don't see this. Well, I don't know. Maybe there is a. Well, I don't know example.
It's the same issue here. This tuning
yes.
That you're talking about now is the same
yes.
Tuning there.
Okay, but your statement was that you cannot have solution with the leading term equal to zero and the second one non-zero,
yes,
which are not singular.
Which are physical.
I think that physical, well,
we can talk about
it. Yeah. For example, the column branch, do you consider it physical or, yeah?
There are two cases, right? That's
yeah.
Case,
but when you interpret the realization group role, I mean, the realization group implies an extent that it would be kind of first order equation, right?
Yes.
Because, I mean, you have a change in the initial state, you are changing your scale, and you are looking,
yes,
you know, how you change the function of scale.
Sure.
So in this way, when you have an equation of second order, you should have something like, which it makes it equivalent to first,
yeah,
order.
Yes, that's true. And for example, if supersymmetry is involved, you,
yeah,
can reduce to first order.
Yeah.
If supersymmetry is not involved, I don't know how you reduce to first order. But since I don't think that supersymmetry is a crucial ingredient for, because
no,
renormalization group flow.
Instead of supersymmetry, it could be like about some kind of boundary conditions, right? Because you have a second,
yeah,
order, but if you have some conditions,
yes,
it would be curious.
But I don't know how to choose the condition which,
yeah,
makes the solution physical in general.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's the. For a generic solution, typically a non-supersymmetric solution, I don't know how to find the physical solution among the possible solutions for this. But
if the gravitational solution is completely non-singular everywhere, would you expect it to respond to some...
Yeah, that would be a strong hint that the solution could be right, yes. But most of the solutions are generical singular for all value of parameter, that's the, even the column branch, which is the one, well, you think, okay, that's practically safe. I take my brain, I separate a couple of brains, and I look at, if you try to do from this point of view, typically you get singularity in this. That would definitely be a good solution, but when you separate one brain and you eat the brain, you have a singularity there. Yeah, but I think if you look from the point of view of one of these ADS, what do you see? You see,
okay, but if you don't have a course, no, but I mean, is that what you mean by singularity?
No, let's say. Well, for example, in this game there are solutions corresponding to the column branch. These are not the simple separation of one brain. You take a continuous distribution of brain and you look at the five-dimensional and ten-dimensional solution corresponding to this object, and it is typically singular. I can show you the example later. But in some sense you may expect that this is a good string background.
But you can write down a metric to separate the brains. I mean, it's not more singular than the original one. Except if you have a piece of that. But I mean, if you just write down the two, you just get multiple. You have different places where you go
but
to the
DS. But you have one over. Of the brain, every time you hit one of the brain, you get a singular.
But then I could say that about the original system when you get the original brain.
Okay, but
here.
But in some sense, in the original system, you replace the your problem with the antithesis system.
So you do that just when you...
Okay, but then you have the second one. I think you can get rid of one of the singularity where all the brains are sitting, but not to the second one. The second one in this renormalization group flow will appear as some singularity far from the boundary of antithesis system. Well, we can discuss it later. Really. But for example, for all this flow, there is a you can construct what looks like a C function, which is a function which is always decreasing from going to ultraviolet to infrared, and which is equal to the value of the central charge of the conformal field theory at the fixed point. The central charge can be defined by looking at the trace of the stress energy tensor, one of the coefficients of the various curvature invariants determines the candidate Cf, let's call it Cf, phi charge for a four-dimensional gauge theory, and this has been related in Antide Sitter to the value of the cosmological constant of the space that you are considering, and therefore to the value of the potential at the critical point, then you can easily construct a function which interpolates between these two central, the central charge of the ultraviolet point and the central charge of the infrared point. And, for example, in terms of the field that I considered before, just take the stress energy tensor in the fifth direction and make it to some power. Can be written in using the equation of motion in two different ways. And it's very simple using the previous equation of motion to show that this is always decreased along the flow. Simple a matter of using the equation of motion. In the terms of the particle which moves in the system, I told you this is a system with friction. If you have a particle in a system with friction, the energy always decreases clearly. And this is 1 over the energy to some power. So this, if you want, in this interpretation, it's fairly obvious that you get a function which decreases along the flow. So in some sense, if you interpret this as a C function, you see that along this flow, the degree of freedom of your theory are indeed decreasing. So it's not unlikely that this solution really represents a renormalization group flow. Now let me conclude this part by saying a few words about the various fixed points that you can describe. Using this game, you can study the conformal field theory that you can get from any qualform and strong coupling by deforming the theory with mass transfer scalars and fermions. Okay, I told you with certain symmetry, people found 3 n equals 0 fixed points. Now, after initial confusion, it turns out that all the 3 fixed points are really unstable in the sense that as supergravity background, they have tachyons. Well, you know that in Antide Sitter you can have particle with negative mass, but provided the mass does not exceed a bound, which in the quantum field theory is the unitary bound for conformal operator. If you take the solution and you study the spectrum of the supergravity solution near each of these points, you can compute the mass of your supergravity mode and the dimension of the operator which is associated. And you always find that there is an operator which is unstable, there is a mode which is unstable, which is tachyonic, which means that if you compute the dimension of the corresponding operator using the mass formula that I gave in the first transparency, you will find a complex dimension of the operator. So therefore you get a dimension, conformal operator, which is clearly not a unitary representation. So one of the crucial points is that is this question. I cannot solve now. There are critical points which are really stable, or simply at strong coupling, this n equal 4 EMS cannot flow to any non-supersymmetric fixed point. And this question I cannot answer. These are not all the fixed points of the Lagrange. There are probably many more of them. Typically, they have always U1 symmetry. And not non-abelian symmetry. There is certainly one stable fixed point, but this is stable due to supersymmetry, the one that I discussed before. This has also a nicely gauge theory interpretation because you deform with a mass term for one of the joints. You can prove, for example, in quantum field theory that you expect an infrared fixed point. You can compute several things, for example, the central charge. You can compute the spectrum using supergravity and compare with quantum field theory. And in all this case, you find very good agreement with the supergravity prediction. Now, let me go to the second part of the talk. There were many.
Well, I think it's up to 15 if you have a lot to say. Maybe
yes.
Stop for 15 minutes.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So it's up to you. You decide at 15.
What we do? Okay. Okay. The point is that you compute the spectrum, you compute the dimension of the operator in this theory, you get, I don't know, a complex number for a dimension of one of the operator. Means that the theory is not unitary. I don't know what to do with them. So I have a nice supergravity solution, which is, I don't tell it before, but clearly, if I study this problem, I'm really I have no singularity in the game, supergravity is valid, so I'm really studying the power of the four means, the strong coupling of n equal 4 young means. So the supergravity result should be reliable. If you find a fixed point, you should expect that indeed n equal 4 young means at coupling can flow to this infrared fixed point. But the problem is that you get a one supersymmetric fixed point that you can interpret, and all the n equal 0, which in some sense are the more interesting fixed points, turn out to be unstable, which means correspond to theories which are not unitary. I don't see any hint of this in the supergravity solution, because the supergravity solution is seems regular. Simply the ending point is unstable. Yeah. This is true. So I don't know what this means. For example, there are, if you take this type 0 example, also in that case, you get conformal field theory from type 0, which has a tachyon, typically, in one of the, at strong coupling. People argue that at weak coupling, the tachyon is no more there, because you can get the explicit Lagrangian description on compute dimension of operators looks like, well, a well-defined theory. Maybe that this is the case also here. I cannot check. I don't know what is the Lagrangian for this infrared fixed point. I only know the symmetry.
But then it's not under control because there's large curvature, right?
There is no large curvature, yes.
No, I'm talking about that in the type 0.
In the type 0, there is...
In
the type 0... No, but there is a region where I think you can trust the solution, which is the one... in which you have the tachyon, I guess. In this case, you can trust is the large radius of your anti de Sitter. If you go to the large radius of the anti de Sitter in type 0, you get a solution that you can trust. But there is a tachyon because it's a tachyon type 0. So you predict an operator with complex dimension in the region that you can trust,
Of course.
So which is the same as here.
What I was saying is that it's not clear that you can trust. There's something breaking down in the correspondence, right? In both cases. Because in n equals, you're not really saying that n equals 4 supreme is, you can add some operator to the Lagrangian and flow to a non unitary conformal field theory, right?
Mm.
So it's not likely.
I don't see what in the sense. This is really under control. It's a nice supergravity solution in the... I'm not sure that this is a breaking down of the correspondence. Let's see, suppose that you perturb the n equal 4 YMS with... let's see. No, well, it would be... difficult to trust. For example, the mass term for scalars must be always have a tachyonic mode because you have a symmetric traceless matrix. So suppose that you give mass plus 1 to 5 scalars, you must give mass minus 5 to the last one.
Mass squared.
Mass squared.
Negative mass squared.
Mm-hmm. So in some sense, you may think that this is sick from the very beginning.
The potential is not bounded.
Yeah, the potential is not bounded from below.
Yeah. So in this way, interpretation could be the theory is not physical.
Yes.
I mean,
so you are perturbing with an operator which is not physical. For fermions, it's less obvious, but you know, there are correction of all types in this game. I'm not sure that this is a breakdown of the correspondence.
Do you think that you put on
non-unitary, not unbounded, not bounded?
Well,
imagine a part of the Lagrangian. You have imaginary part of the Lagrangian. You add something.
I'm saying something.
A non-unitary could be because it goes through the boundary in field amplitude space. You see, if you have
you know, kind of negative stop. The system goes to some kind of boundary. Then it's equivalent to non-definition. Like then, while technically it's real, right?
Yeah.
It's physically non-definition.
But technically, I think it's a real, not by hand putting some complex. But yeah, the equal four point I can tell you is, for example, a Gugino mass term, and here I don't see any. I have on the previous transparency.
But at the end point, you have an unstable.
Yeah, at the end point, so you. You know.
But
who? Positive mass square.
For example, in M equal 1, just in the field,
yes.
Where you add up what looks like a positive mass square in the UV.
Yes.
And it turns into a negative mass squared in the IR.
Oh, yeah.
And,
so I remember.
You can see it near the UV fixed line. Maybe some story like that.
Yeah. But anyway, in this case, you may have something which is clearly unbounded. Okay. In this other one, this looks perfectly well defined. Lambda 4, the square 4. There is a 5 cube, but it's not positive definite, yes. So let me tell you something about the other kind of solution, the one which flows to infinity, which are expected to be associated to confining solution. Here things are as follows. There are in 10 dimensions several different types of solutions describing confining theory. First example, you put finite temperature in the system, and or otherwise you study type 2 solution, for example, is running dilat on an axion. These are the kind of examples that already showed up in the previous transparency. Type 0 solution, for example, or non-critical string. Well, there is no really a solution which corresponds to a mass deformation of an n equal 4 in 10 dimensions. The reason is that you need to turn on an antisymmetric tensor field in the type 2 beam, which is not very easy to do. So let's try to see what's going on from the point of view of five-dimensional supergravity. I told you there is a mass term for all the fermions in the theory. I can try to give a generic mass term to the fermions, and I may expect that I can give the explicit mass for the scalar, or typically I may expect that scalar get massed by loop correction. So in general, I expect that in all these examples, I float in the infrared to a theory with only gluons, which probably is a confining theory. Among these examples, I can pick up one which is particular, and I will focus mainly on this because you can exactly solve your equation of motion, which is the one where you take a supersymmetric mass term for this guy. You take the three chiral field in the n equal 1 description and you give a mass term. You expect to flow in the infrared to the pure n equal 1 super Yamir. Now, as many of these solutions, this one are generically singular in the infrared, and then I comment during and at the end about the meaning of this singularity. So you may also expect from the very beginning that these solutions are not good. So, well, anyway, we may instead expect that you get the right behavior out of this supergravity solution. in this picture, to pick up the supersymmetric solution, it's just a matter of taking the generic scalar term decomposed under SU3 cos U1, which is the relative group, the pertinent group for the n equal 1 Young Mears. And in this decomposition, you can give this is the term which corresponds to the lambda 4 in the of the previous transpan. You give mass to only one of the fermions, and this has been studied before. In the supergravity, it looks like the flow to some unstable SU3 infinite fixed point. If you take this one, this is instead the 6 of SU3 is a symmetric matrix, corresponds to the mass term for the pure adjoint field. Now, even before going to the singularity issue, there is clearly the first point in this game. You're not really hoping to flow to this n equal 1 Young Mears. The reason is that if you give mass to all your fields to keep the lambda QCD of the n equal 1 theory fixed, you need to make a double scaling. You send the mass to infinity while sending the coupling constant of the original theory to zero in such a way that these guys, which is the matching between the theory in ultraviolet and the infrared, is fixed. M is the mass. So typically, well, take T as the determinant of the mass. Okay. Clearly, this is outside the regime of validity of supergravity, because supergravity is valid exactly when the ultraviolet cutoff, the ultraviolet coupling constant, goes to infinity and not to zero. However, this is typical in all this supergravity solution, where you are not really probing the Young Mears theory. You are studying some relatives, some cousin, some strongly coupled cousin of this. You may expect to see the same qualitative behavior of the original theory: confinement, mass gap, a discrete spectrum, and in n equal 1, at the same time, you may expect to get a Gugino condensate out of the solution.
So if that corresponds to Young Mears, you lambda goes to infinity as well, right?
Yes. So in the lambda is proportional to the mass. Mm-hmm. So you are not really decoupling the modes. You have extra stuff in the game.
Maybe it's naive, but it's no from Wilson argument that in strong coupling regime and any gauge theory, including so even QED, you will get confinement of the material.
Okay, yeah. I agree that at strong coupling this is analogous to having a lattice and expanding a strong coupling.
There's no interesting dynamics in this type of confinement is dynamically not interesting. Because you would get it also in the strong coupling regime of Abelian field or Abelian gauge field. Compact theory. Like Wilson, yeah, compact theory.
Well, in Wilson, I can see is a particular model on lattice, and you make an expansion.
Just a regularization. What is physically crucial is the coupling constant.
Yes.
There is no lattice.
No. Well, you can see. Look. You can, in some sense, consider this supergravity solution as a lattice regularization.
Yeah.
Here is the limit where the lattice goes to infinity.
Yeah.
If you are able to solve the alpha prime correction of your string, means that you can go from x goes to 0 to x goes to infinity, you get the real QCD. Okay? So I agree, this is a limit, is analogous of the strongly coupled limit of the gauge theory.
Yeah, instead of lattice, you have this there, right? Much
F plays
the same role.
Well, F is the cutoff, yes. The same is the cutoff of the lattice. That's, I'm not claiming I'm solving QCD, okay? That's for sure. So to simplify the problem, impose an extra SO3 symmetry in such a way that you take the same mass for all the fields in the game. From the physical point of view, well, you expect still 10 equal 1 super Young mass in the infrared from coupling. But from the technical point of view of solving the equation of motion, this is a big simplification, because you can easily check that you can consistently put to zero all the other fields in the game and get with a, ending with a very simple Lagrange of scalar coupled to one scale, only one scalar, which is the common mass term for the field, with a non-trivial potential that you can actually compute with some effort. And this is the potential.
Are there some singlets that you might have thought would be coupled to this?
Are there some single fields? There are other singlets, but luckily enough, if you look at the coupling of the other singlet field to this one,
yeah,
it's always zero.
It's
not a consequence of SO3, because there are four singlets of SO3, but it's a consequence of the bigger symmetry SU4 crosses L to Z. Mm. If you use the original symmetry of your Lagrange, indeed, this is a very lucky point, because I didn't expect at the beginning that supergravity is so nice to give a solution corresponding to this mass term without extra stuff. Now, here we come to a point that we have already mentioned before. People have found a condition for having a supersymmetric solution of the equation of motion. The condition can be summarized in the following. The potential of your theory must have a very particular form. It must depend on what is usually called a superpotential, and must be a given function of the superpotential given by this expression with fixed coefficient, 1 over 8 and 1 over 3. The point is that it's not difficult to see that if you have this form of the potential and you plug in the second order equation of motion, you will discover that essentially the potential factorized in the sum of squares, and you can identify the square with the first order derivative square. So you reduce this system to a first order one. From the supergravity point of view, you essentially solved the equation for the shift of the fermions in the supergravity background, which automatically reduce the theory from a second order problem to a first order one. Well, anyway, with given parameterization, you can reduce the equation of motion to first order one, and clearly you can solve first order equation of motion. In this particular case of this potential, you can easily check that this superpotential is given by a simple expression in terms of the parameter field. Now, given this expression for the superpotential, and I think I have, without question, I have about 10 minutes. With question, we may have more, because...
What? Okay. So we'll maybe 15 minutes or...
Yes.
Sorry about that. No, it's not your fault that people have questions.
Yeah,
it's already,
it's okay,
you know, for the last 2 or 3 months we had this tradition here, stopping for cookies.
No, but it's fine. It's, let's see.
This you can take off and then put it back on.
In this type zero thing, I think I don't find it likely at all that the sketch theory on the deep brain and type zero has the properties that you guys claim.
Said in the end of the vacuum, you had something good for the position square, then there's no vacuum.
The type zero, it's given as well.
in type 0, you have here radius 3 times the 3 times the 4. Now here there is this radius r, here there is this radius k, the radius squared of the radius 3 and 3 k. So, you know, in this k, you know, there is an SU2 set of WW, here an level k. So, what you find when you solve the problem exactly is that the vacuum stops being tachyonic when k is such that the SU2 has negative level. Well, I think it's exactly when its level becomes negative.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, I'm happy to discuss the theory on fundamental strings and NS vibrant in type 0. I think it's not a fake theory. But one thing that is clear in that theory is that it's not, it doesn't correspond to this singular string theory. So actually, I do think that in general, there is something that is not well understood in this correspondence in these cases. I think this is, by the way, just one example.
Okay.
Another set of examples was raised to me by Eva Silverstein, where you take all sorts of known examples of APSCSC and you do an orbital that acts in the same way on both sides. On one side, you get a tachyonic string theory, and on the other side, you get what is clearly a reasonable conformal field theory. So it seems to me that there's something
else.
It's conformal. If you just take a conformal field theory, you orbital it with something. So, of course, as you know, typically when you orbital the conformal field theory, you get a conformal field theory, you don't get something. Oh, you're talking. No, I'm talking about examples where you're talking now about all of those. That's not. I was talking about a much simpler thing, where it's clear. You know, the thing is that in all of these sub-dimensional examples, everything is so out of control that people keep inventing stories. Now, in two dimensions. Everything is under too much control. So, you know, the theory is on the field theory side, you just have some conformal field theory that's well understood, say T for N or the time. You orbital it. The orbital is well understood. On the string theory side, you do an orbital that's well understood. So, you know, there's nowhere to run. You can't tell stories with the story. And, so I do think this is something that's not at all understood in this whole story, but indeed I really don't want to bother with this seminar.
Okay.
So the general picture with the singular background is the something at the bottom of what you were saying is sort of half of the time the photographic background is singular and you have no clue whether they are singular in the first place or they are singular in the second place. The material is
Thank you. I Now, what, I mean, have you been trying this?
Yes.
Okay. So, what, I mean, what's your approach?
Well, this has been, I'm just trying to see, grab it from the years, and come up with some solutions that have, basically, where the, looking for, you know, patients where they are.
Now, what,
good.
Now, when you say supergravity, are you looking for full tangential supergravity or full?
Yes.
Because you'll notice that what these folks do is they work purely in the five-dimensional series. The analog you would be a three-dimensional.
That's why you think
three-dimensional
game supergravity.
Right. And that seems to be a much, much, easier thing. None of this stuff could be done. Yeah, at least not a nearly the level of detail if you had to work on anything. Now, actually, something I'm interested in, part of my project is not graph theory, in fact, so the flows that preserve some supersymmetry solving the supersymmetry conditions. I don't know if that's one of the directions you're taking.
We have, at least for the experiment, I mean, another course is just look at various kind of brain
yes.
And so starting from the brain approach, and, you know, basically, you know, right into the
Is it working?
In order to figure out which thing in the geometry is that doesn't make sense, which one that is just full of branches or something, you need to understand string theory or
I think, well, from my point of view, there must be a solution which corresponds to the renormalization growth flow. If you find a singularity that in the supergravity, simply this singularity must be lifted by the string correction.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So I'm assuming that there is a string solution corresponding to n equal 1 super Yamil. Okay?
Yeah, that
makes sense, right? So I find this singular solution because I cannot find anything else, typically. Then I can try to compute, nevertheless, quantities and see what I get. And this is what I'll do now. And okay. Well, the crucial point was that having supersymmetry, you can really solve the equation of motion because they are first order. Here is the solution, doesn't probably tell you many information, but here it is. This is the factor for the metric, this is the behavior of the scalar field. Well, you can look at the infinite, what's going on. You get a singularity for the metric and the scalar field. Typically, scalar fields have logarithmic singularity, and the metric has some power of x minus the position of singularity to some power, in this case is 1. Now, this is not oscillating. In some sense, this is the supersymmetric case. The Desarton doesn't work. Yeah. Only the scalar field. Now, this is clearly singular. What we can do with a singular solution? Well, clearly near the singularity, the string correction are big. So, starting from the point of view of the conformal field theory, you expect that if the renormalization group makes sense, there is a string solution corresponding to the renormalization group, which behaves like this solution near the ultraviolet, goes to the infrared, and at the infrared, the singularity is resolved by all the strings correction. Clearly, I cannot solve string theory on this background. Otherwise, I could also go to the opposite limit, the strong coupling one, and really compute object for super EMIL sine equal 1 or, in general, QCD. But having this solution, I can nevertheless ask what this singular solution predicts if I try to compute object using the de Sitter conformal field theory. You may expect that despite the singularity, you get at least the qualitative behavior of the theory you are studying. In this case, you expect to find a confining theory in the infrared with mass gap, discrete spectrum, and a Gugino condensate. Now, how can you check these things in the anti-de Sitter correspondence? The shortest way is probably to compute a quark-anti-quark potential, or a monopole-anti-monopole potential. These objects are introduced in the game as external source, electric or magnetic source, and they are connected by the string of the type 2B string. The fundamental connects electrically charged object, the E1 connects magnetically charged object, and then you try to minimize the action of an open strings strings which has as the boundary exactly the contour of the Wilson loop that you want to compute. You put at the boundary of the anti-de Sitter this contour with length L and time T, and then you try to find a classical solution for a strings which has this boundary on C. Typically the strings, since on the boundary the metric is blowing up, the string will not stay on the boundary but will enter inside the space. So you can have a shape like that for the metric and get different behaviors for the energy for a quark and anti-quark potential. For example, in anti-de Sitter you get the behavior that energy goes one, like 1 over the distance between the quark and the anti-quark. Now the prescription is just to compute the minimal area of a string with given boundary. And this is a classical problem, exactly like solving the equation of motion of supergravity. You need to take this Lagrangian, where this is the induced matrix, this is the Nambu-Goto action with the tension for your object, and minimize this problem. The classical problem is a matter of solving Euler-Lagrange equation. Now, in suitable coordinates, you can always reduce this energy as a function, as an expression like that, where in the new coordinates, U equal plus infinity is the boundary, U equal 0 is the interior of the center of your space. Then you have a function which is expressed in terms of the quantities in the game by this formula. And according to the behavior of the function, you may find different behavior for the Wilson loop. The conformal case, indeed, you get 1 over L. The function behaves like the fourth power of this scale and goes like that. For having a confinement, you expect that typically confinement in the nice world is when the string will not really enter in the space, but it stay near the boundary. In other terms, if the metric of the space is bounded, clearly the integral over the metric is greater than some constant, and the Nambu-Goto action is greater than the area of the contour that you are considering, and you expect an area low behavior for the Wilson loop, for example, in finite temperature. Now, you may have two different situations where this function does this job. For example, simply need to be bounded, so it can go at the ultraviolet, it must approach the anti-de Sitter value, it goes like U to the 4. In the infrared, it can be bounded from below, or even better, create a barrier for the string. In this second case, the string will stay inside this region, probably will go inside the space until the minimum of this barrier, and will never probe the deep infrared singularity. And the screening can be analyzed in a similar way. It corresponds with a function which goes like that, with which goes to zero here, but with a power which is between zero and two. But so what about my solution? Well, first of all, you need to write this function, and one of the technical problems is that you don't know exactly what is the tension of a string in five dimensions, because you are dealing with five-dimensional supergravity and not the 10-dimensional type to the string. However, if you trust dimensional reduction from 10 dimensions, you can read the tension of the string looking at the kinetic term for the antisymmetric tensor field in the game. And this can be explicitly computed, and a non-trivial function of the scalar field just because of the dimensional reduction to five dimensions. But you can compute this object in supergravity and compute the kinetic term for these guys. In typically in supergravity, this is written in first order form. It's not H square, where H is the curvature of the antisymmetric field, but it's written like B wedge dB plus a mass term. If you solve for one of these guys, you get the usual kinetic term for the H. Now, given the solution, you can compute this function and check what's going on for the Wilson loop. But you will find that the behavior of the function for a pair of quark and antiquark is the following. It's bounded from above, and as this form goes to this given function, that if you trust the supergravity approximation, things that you cannot really do, this distance gives you the tension of the QCD strings we connect quark and antiquark. Analogously, for monopoles, you find a function which goes in the infrared like U, which corresponds to the screening. So qualitatively, you get the right result. But, however, you see, in both cases, the string enters very deeply inside the space, goes in the region where you cannot really trust the supergravity approximation. You can compute another thing, just to check that the theory really confines, which is a two-point function. You just need to solve the equation of motion for a scalar which is minimally coupled to gravity in this background, and luckily enough you know the exact method, therefore you can write down the equation and solve explicitly. Having this solution, you can compute a two-point function, look at the pole of the two-point function and find the mass of the, let's say, the bound state in this theory. This can be explicit computed, it's not even too complicated, I just haven't written because of space. It can be expressed in terms of psi function, and it's very simple. You can check that the behavior is the following. Near, for large momentum, where you expect to go back to the conformal theory, you indeed get k to the 4 log k, which is the conformal behavior, the Fourier transform of 1 over x to the 8, which is the right coefficient for two-dimensional 4 operator. While in the infra, you get for small k an analytic function, and you can check that there are discrete poles. This, the simplest way just to look qualitatively at the problem is to take this equation and write it in a Schrödinger-like form, because in a Schrödinger-like form, typically, if you do the right change of coordinates, you get as an energy of your Schrödinger equation exactly the k square, which gives you the mass of your object. And in this Schrödinger-like equation, you get a potential which goes like that. So in some sense, you have, from this point of view, you may expect that your bound states correspond to wave function, which are in some sense suppressed near the infrared of the solution.
What is the scale of the masses?
The scale of the masses is related to the mass that you introduce in the game.
The perturbation.
This is also what you expect because, indeed, in this game, the lambda of the theory is proportional to the mass that you put. It's exactly the same as in, for example, finite temperature and in another game like that. So in some sense, I trust more this two-point function computation than the previous Wilson loop one, because in some sense, the wave functions of this operator are supported far from the singularity. Now, as a last check that we are really getting n equal 1 super Yamils, well, in n equal 1 super Yamils, you expect to get a Gugino condensate. How do you get a Gugino condensate out of this supergravity solution? Well, you can still play with this double meaning of supergravity solution. They can describe deformation and valve of the theory. In this decomposition that I already used for the bilinear in the fermions, there are two terms. The 6, I told you, is the mass term for the supersymmetric mass term for your field, while the singlet is this mode that we already considered before for flow that goes in the infinite to conformal field theory, which is a lambda 4, lambda 4. So you are giving mass to 3 fermions, and the fourth one is associated to this singlet. So in the interpretation as a deformation, which for n equal 1 Yamils, this is the operator which corresponds to the Gugino condensate. So one may try to get a more general supergravity solution where two fields are involved in the game, this mass term, I'm still imposing SO3 symmetry just to simplify the problem, and this Gugino condensate. This Gugino condensate is another one of this SO3 field. You can use or not, because they are essentially the commute, these two things inside this big Kozak space commute. And you don't need to introduce any other stuff, because all other fields have no coupling at the linear order with this one. So you get still a solution, you compute the potential, you see that the solution is supersymmetric because it admits a superpotential, which has in the following form. So you find a more general n equal 1 solution. Now, since you really know the solution, you can check what you are doing by looking at the ultraviolet behavior of the solution. If you go in the ultraviolet, you see that having the explicit solution, the mass term behaves like e to the minus x, which in terms of the conformal field of the object that you are using, which is 3, the bilinear in the fermion, the foreign operator of dimension t, goes like e to the minus 4 minus delta. While the second one has a different behavior, it goes like minus 3x, therefore like e to the minus delta x. If you remember the discussion in the second transparency, the different asymptotic behavior of the field is associated to the two possible meaning of supergravity solution. This behavior means that you are really deforming the original theory with the mass parameter for the n equal 1 chiral adjoint, and in the same time you are getting a valve for the Gugino condensate. So this is what, on general ground, you expect for n equal 1 super Yamils. Clearly, if you look at the solution, you see that there are essentially two independent parameters that supergravity is not able to fix. You may think that having the string solution which solves the singularity in the infrared, you get a relation between the two of them. Clearly, in the solution that I show you in the previous transparency, you can consistently put to zero this object, and you get a solution where you don't have Gugino condensate. So this might be interpreted as the chiral preserving vacuum of n equal 1 Yamils. While then you can also have sigma, so have vapor which spontaneously break the chiral symmetry. From this point of view, it would be interesting to get a domain wall in this game, but since you are doing five-dimensional supergravity, this is not an easy problem.
So let me. In this way, normally, if you try to believe that, n equal 1 in this case, for example, has two ways here. So it's a certain number right here. It's not that we can adjust it by view, right? So what do you think
is... But each solution corresponds to a different vacuum of the...
What is the total number right here?
The total number of vacuum... Well, here you are in the large n limit, so the n vacua becomes a continuous. So as here you have essentially two independent parameters. So you can go smoothly from the chiral symmetric one to the vacuum where the Gugino bilinear is not as non-zero valve. Okay, so in this game, you have an absolute value for this guy, which is an arbitrary constant, what I call C2. times a phase, which is absolutely happening. The phase is okay, is what you expect in n equal 1. On the other hand, if you compute the tension of QCD, you get some other parameter, okay, the second one, which is related to the mass of the object that you are introducing. Well, in supergravity, these are really solutions depending on two parameters. In string theory, you need to know how to fix condition at the singular point. You may expect that if you're really doing a renormalization group flow, the condition that you put in the inference will give you a relation between these two guys. In this case, the only object which is left is the phase, but this is correct because it's the Lagrange limit, so you have a circle of... Yes,
so it's not like I mean this way.
But
it's more trickier than that.
But well, but in a massless ghost zone, you should see in.
In origin PCD, that's because the course is fundamental.
No, I agree. Let's see. Well, you need to see that the corresponding supergravity mode is not massless in this case. And this. Let's see. For this, you should look at the equation of, like in the previous transparency. You write down the equation for this mode, and you discover that there is no massless excitation for this. And
then you would immediately say that there is no solution in C2 equals 0. Because C2 equals 0, 2 corresponds to the existence of matter. But it's not of the phase size.
Not of the phase size.
It doesn't matter. If you have all mass non zero, right? Then it doesn't
feel,
right?
Why? I don't... if you have C2 equals 0, okay, so you are in the chiral... That's an interesting point. Well, massless particle here, you look at massless particle, not looking at the solution, you need to solve the fluctuation around the solution and check that there is a massless object.
Right, but we know independently that the chiral symmetric vacuum would correspond to existence of massless particle. And then comparing with your...
No, I can... Well, I haven't checked the supergravity equation of motion for this particular mode. So then maybe... well, clearly, if you have a singularity, you need to be careful. But it may turn out that there is an equation for one of the modes. I simply look at this operator. Okay? This operator excites a certain type of blue balls in the theory. And I found that all of them are massive. Okay? But I think it's not the phase that is problem. I think the problem is that if this guy is zero, then you expect massless modes. This I should check. Well, another possibility is this one. There is no chiral symmetric vacuum.
This is one problem.
It has been solved.
Was it?
I'm not so sure. It
wasn't not. Who solved it? I think we can
perform. Probably will become long.
No, yes. When you have solution from n equal 2, you know that you will not be the extra vector, right? Right, but it's an analysis, right? Because with in the case,
you can... The microphone is on. Okay,
Because they speak louder than me.
Okay.
Do you have a selection for having zero
in this supergravity, okay. The relation between the parameter and is given, I think, by string correction. So I cannot claim that there is maybe correct and maybe lifted. But this is also singular, it's not only.
Well, all you can say is that the thing is breaking down in the infrared, right?
Yeah.
And you have to do something else. Yeah. So he has nothing to say about this problem, seems to me, right? That's what you said, though.
Well, I say that you cannot fix this constant, but you see the right qualitative behavior.
No, you can, I don't think you can say that, because I think it's not fair. Because what you write to a theory in the strong coupling regime, which we know it does have confinement, but it's totally different type of confinement. It has nothing to do with the synthetically free gauge.
Oh, that's for sure.
So when you're saying it's the quality of the right behavior, it's totally misleading, because it does have confinement. It definitely does have a mass gap, which is again true in the strong coupling regime, Alan-Wilson, it should have a mass gap. It has nothing to do with the occurrence of either confinement or the mass gap in the regime.
That's
so you shouldn't say it teaches what we know in experiments. These are two different things. You study one theory, I have nothing against it, it's a good thing to study.
No, but...
There's nothing to
do. No, I agree, but he was more concerned about... Okay, I think there are two different problems. That's certainly Yamin's a strong coupling, but now he's more concerned about the fact... You could have a situation where you study Yamin's a strong coupling and you have a good control on the supergravity solution. Okay, you can have this. Then you are simply doing Yamin's a strong coupling.
Yeah.
Okay, everything is fine. And you compute whatever you have to compute. You get the spectrum at the ultraviolet cutoff and so on. In this case, there is an extra problem. The supergravity description breaks down in the infrared. Okay? So even for solving n equal 4 Yamin's at strong coupling, you first need to say what's going on at the singularity.
So it's even worse than
It even worse, sorry. It's even worse. Okay.
The strong coupling, in a sense, it's not, it is kind of theoretical, right? Because if you would like to apply it to a real world, what means strong coupling? It's like being at distance of the order of the left.
No, exactly, it's like, exactly the limit which Wilson considered.
Right, but it's not physical limit, because it's not continuum limit.
Exactly, back in 76, and he solved the problem at this limit, the problem is solved completely, and there is no mystery whatsoever. We know everything about this limit of the gauge theory. Okay. There is no need to do this you can do it from this side or from the other side, but this is a solvable limit of a gauge theory. Everything is solved. Dynamical pattern, mass spectrum, if you want S-matrix, you can find S-matrix, whatever you want to find is...
No, it's not S-matrix at all, because in this image, it's not even Lois and Bray.
So what? You still can define as S-matrix, it's not going to be worse.
Well, let me tell this. I was more concerned with the study of, let's see, he started by studying this correspondence between anti-theta and conformal field theory. I didn't want to arrive at the end to solve a QCD. It was my purpose from the very beginning. So the point is, one of the points is this game is also, if you go away from the conformal field theory, can you trust what you are doing? If you want, take my talk from this point of view. I'm just studying the formation of this problem, which may eventually in future, if someone solve the alpha prime correction for this model, to a solution for QCDs. Not at the moment, no one knows how to do it. Therefore, the only thing that you can compare between this anti-de Sitter and the quantum field theory are quantum field theory in the wrong limit, this one, at finite cutoff. So I'm just trying to check if this conformal field theory survives to some little kicks. For doing this, I need to compare the anti-de Sitter with a strongly coupled gauge theory. Okay? I was not... The title of the talk was conformal theory and non-conformal from anti-de Sitter. It's not how to get the real world out of anti-de Sitter. That's a different problem, okay? So when I say there is a qualitative agreement, is the qualitative agreement between the anti-de Sitter conformal field theory correspondence, and the quantum field theory that is supposed to be on this side, which is strongly coupled Jan-Mills theory. It, okay, from clearly, from this point of view, it's not the interesting. Okay? But if you want to test your correspondence, this is a starting point. Okay?
But in this correspondence, you have n equal, n equal 1, not n equal 2, right?
You have n equal 1, yes.
And n equal 1 in constant situation means that you run mass of the joint.
Yes.
And something else as well, right? Because otherwise, if it's only 1 mass, then it will be n equal 2. If you will
for the three, the three chiral joint field in n equal 1 notation, for the three chiral field.
Yeah.
So you decompose, you have this content of field, okay, in n equal 1 notation, three chiral, mm-hmm. Okay, and then you put this this term.
You mean that
with a generic, I'm taking a diagonal matrix, but.
I see, so it breaks.
Breaks to n equal 1. It doesn't break. If you put a generic mass term, it immediately breaks n equal 4 to n equal 1. Okay.
Yeah, but if it will be only one mass, then it will be.
No, but these are the chiral field. Three masses for the chiral. I'm not giving a mass to the hypermass, okay?
No, because at some point you only one mass for one, or for one, then it was one out of three.
That was the non-conformal example, yeah. So let me finish very briefly. Only two things about non-supersymmetric solution. You can solve this equation of motion when supersymmetry is not present. The problem is that you have to solve the equation of motion, and you cannot solve them in general. So you can look for asymptotic behavior. Well, the only thing that you can really do is say, let I take the limit where this stuff simplifying the infrared, for example, the potential is negligible, and you still get a logarithmic behavior for your field in general, depending on some parameter, which you need to satisfy some constraint. The metric is similar as before. If you really neglect the potential, it always this form, whatever deformation you are using, which is a form which is common also to 10-dimensional solution when you reduce them, for example, type 0 or type 2B solution. Clearly in a supersymmetric theory you cannot delete the potential, so this is really a non-supersymmetric one. Can you neglect it? Yes, typically yes. This is an exponential of some field, which simply means that you need to put some constraint on this guy. So in a large subsector of your parameter space, you really have solution where this potential can be neglected. Now, what you can do with this solution, they are still singular. You can compute the same thing as before, for example, Wilson loop and mass spectrum for your field. Now, still you get the generically this solution even with the, this solution in singular background, if you trust this computation of Wilson loop, describe confined in theory. Can you really trust this? Well, the answer was before, in general you can't. Now, every time you do a solution which is singular and you actually compute something, you have to face the following problem. I know that this is not the trustable at all, what I get from out of this supergravity solution. Well, people who compute the column branch phase of n equal 4 pointed out a few problems which comes when you really compute two-point function and other things. They got funny behavior in the case due to the singularity structure. Here, when you study on the other hand deformation, you get that essentially the qualitative picture, even for this strongly coupled theory, are captured by supergravity. The problem is there are some situation where you can resolve your singularity. Well, I can think about two different ways of getting rid of the singularity. If you find a solution which is singular only because of the reduction to five dimensions, but when you lift up to 10 is non-singular, you have solved part of your problem. I don't know what is the lifting to 10 dimension of this n equal 1 super Yamil, because it's quite difficult to involve the tensor field. So I cannot know if this is the case. I know that, for example, in the column branch, you can really lift to 10 dimension, and this doesn't solve your problem. As we told before, every time you move a brain, you have a singularity when you touch the brain, so you cannot always solve the problem by hoping that the real 10-dimensional solution do something. Now, in some sense, some of the computation are more trustable than other. In particular, in this non-supersymmetric solution, what's the typical behavior is that the function which determines the Lewison loop is bounded from below, but it has also a form of a barrier. In this case, you can think that your open string, the one that you use for computing the Wilson loop, will not really enter inside, really in the region where the singularity is blowing up, but it will stay at the minimum of this barrier. So in some case, in some of these examples, you may have control at least on the Wilson loop for two electrically charged objects. And also, sometimes the spectrum of mass that you can get, for example, for the simplest glue ball, your Schrödinger-like potential has a behavior which is real, like a wall. So the wave function are expected to be localized in the middle of the space, not really in the region where the singularity is. So yeah, I think I'm definitely out of time.